All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on?
Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Grasso versus Shevchenko 2, and then break down the upcoming fight night, Fazia versus Gamrot. I'm really excited. Let's get into it. All right, so pretty good fight there.
First off, I got a couple things.
What's
not
up?
Cut you off.
Nah, you're good.
First off, I don't appreciate John and I calling the Mexicans dirty drunks.
Did he say that?
I don't know if anybody else caught that, but he said that the Mexican crowd was drunk with the fighting spirit. And what else does John and I yell that is
John Anik
to do with the fighting spirit? Exactly. So I don't appreciate that, and I expect an apology on behalf of John and I.
John Anik.
But the second thing is, dude, fucking draws. There should not be draws. Especially, I can maybe understand in a regular fight, you know, not trying to take a pin, but in at least a championship fight, there should not be draws in the UFC. If they can figure this out on the UFC, the Ultimate Fighter, if it's still tied after 2-2, go to the third. They can decide that quickly. They can decide a fifth. You know, they can add two more numbers to it and then figure it out and then have them go a sixth and final round. Like, it's ridiculous. That should not have happened. That was such a deflating end to a wonderful fight.
Yeah, it was a really good fight, man. And I mean, honestly, it was so close. I could see it going either way. So I'm not like terribly upset at the draw, but it's just like, how did we get to a draw? Because there was no clear 10-8 round.
I would not have been upset if either had won.
Yeah.
I'm upset that no one.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see a 10-8. I could see a 10-8 when Shevchenko had Grasso deep in that that guillotine, and you know, you could see Grasso looking up like she had that 1,000-yard stare, like same as Volk in when the
Ortega fight.
Ortega had him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm about to lose my belt." Like, she had that look in her face. So that was a clear 10-8 to me. That I could see. The 10-8.
I mean, I don't know about either, clear.
I don't understand. Yeah, like, so it was very hard for me to go with that. At least the judges put their names in their scorecard. I don't know if they did. Somebody put their names in the scorecards out there. So at least they have to be accountable to, like, something.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
As far as the fight goes, I felt like it came down to the fourth round. I thought Shevchenko clearly won the first. Grasso won the second with that knockdown. Shevchenko won the third. And then Grasso won the fifth when she took her back and started beating her up there. So for me, it came down to the fourth round. And I really felt like Grasso did enough when you consider those knees that she was landing to the head of Shevchenko and that big takedown that she got shortly after. So for me, I had Grasso winning the fight. I had her up 3-2. I can definitely see the argument that Shevchenko won the fourth round. I've seen some people even argue that she's won the fifth round because she won, you know, 3.5 minutes of the round and then got taken down for a minute and a half at the end.
It wasn't even a takedown.
It was like a reversal.
An attempt, and Grasso kind of fell. Not saying that she didn't do a good job of body positioning, but it was more of a slip on Shevchenko than anything else.
Yeah, but Grasso really, took advantage of that position, so
yeah, exactly.
It still counts.
But like I said, I wouldn't have been upset had anybody been announced the winner.
Yeah.
It's the fact that, like,
nobody,
because like they, the way that he was announcing it too, and I know that that's Bruce Buffer's job, but like the, like, you know, 48-47, I'm like, oh boy, it's coming down to the final judge card, and then 47-47, took myself a minute to process.
Yeah,
but, and then even like at the end, like Daniel Cormier interviewing Grasso, he's like, "Well, how do you feel about the fight?" He's like, "Well, you know, here I am, I'm the champion and everything, and I feel like I won the fight." And then he's like, "But it was a draw."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She was just like looking at him like, "Dude, I have the fucking belt."
She
right
does
now,
have
so
the belt.
I was like,
she retained, you know? Super close fight, though. Very competitive.
Yeah, now where do we go from here? That's the thing. Do they run a rematch? And then, you know, what happens in the rematch if Shevchenko wins and it's 1-1-1?
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah, good point.
I would be cool seeing him do that. I was hoping Shevchenko win and then be like, "All right, cool. We get a nice little trilogy to cap this off." But now it's extended. Log jams stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear cut what to do. I think they do Manon Fiorot versus Aaron Blanchfield for the next title shot, and they do Shevchenko Grasso 3. And
okay, yeah, but let me ask you this: so Shevchenko Grasso 3, it comes down to another razor decision going in Shevchenko's way. And then what do you do? You run it back, like,
dude, a fourth time, right? Yeah, that's kind of crazy. We're in Davison Figueiredo, Brandon Moreno territory now.
That's dude, exactly like it, that's what I hate about draw, especially in the championship. Like, if it was like a you know, a title eliminator or something like that, and it ended up a draw, it's like, all right, we're moving on to someone else. You guys couldn't get it finished.
Yeah, I just but, I don't
like,
know.
With the championship fight, they should like they can. Soccer doesn't even do that. Like in championship matches, yeah. They go till they have a winner. Congratulations, UFC.
Penalties, yeah.
Soccer has figured it out over
you. Yeah, like, well, you know, yeah. We're a new sport. They've been around for centuries, so.
Yeah, but who the fuck likes ties?
Yeah, I hear you. I get it. I mean, I just, you know, I love the fight, so I'm trying not to let the scorecard, like, muddy it too much. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, it was a really great fight. It was back and forth. It was exciting. It was close. It was competitive. And although there wasn't a clear winner, it was a great time to watch, you know, the knockdown from Grasso and the submission attempts on both sides that, you know, both girls looked like they were in deep trouble at certain points. So I was really entertained throughout the whole thing. It sucks that it ended in a draw, but I thought Valentina lost. So I was happy to see Grasso have the belt at the end of the fight either way. I'd like for it to move on. It would be cool if they moved on, if they did Shevchenko versus Fiore and Blanchfield versus Grasso. But I think they're going to have to run it back because it's just so hard to not do a rematch after a draw like that, you know, for a belt.
Leaves so much unanswered.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see where that goes from there. You know, we'll let the UFC brass figure that out. But moving down the card, how did you feel about Jackie D's win over Kevin Holland?
I saw a lot of people on the forum and, you know, in other aspects of MMA media saying that, you know, Holland had a bad performance and that it was like, you know, even the crowd was booing. I thought it was a really good fight. I mean, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any huge moments, but like technically it was a very close and competitive fight where it was really a matter of volume versus pressure and power, you know?
Yeah,
and
I enjoyed the fight.
Yeah, I liked it. And I thought Madalena did enough to win rounds 1 and 3. I felt like it was pretty clear. I thought Holland got round 2. He snuck it out. You might be able to make an argument for Holland to win round 2 or for Holland to win round 1. But it was a really close fight. I thought Madalena did enough to win. The pressure was on the whole time and Holland didn't have the accuracy that he usually does. And it seemed like a little bit that he was kind of playing around in there. He kept like turning his back and like, you know.
That was strange to me.
Yeah, I think he was just, you know, he knew that Madalena wasn't going to go for a takedown. So he was just, you know, presenting his back to get out of the side door quicker. But I thought it was a good fight. I liked both of the guys' performances. I thought they both, I mean, I think Holland could have done more for sure. I feel like he could have been a little bit more active. He could have thrown more kicks. He could have even mixed in a takedown or two himself. But it was a good fight, nonetheless. You know, I thought it was a good performance. I'd like to see Madalena keep moving up the ranks. I thought this was a tougher matchup for him. And, you know, even though it was a split decision, I think he did pretty well in it, considering who he's up against and the stylistic, you know, problems that Holland faces for him. And I do expect Madalena to come back off of these two decision victories with a huge knockout win. So I'm excited to see who they put him up against next, because I think he's going to smoke them. I think he's ready.
Speaking of smoking somebody, Rojas Jr. is back. He shut me up.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we picked Terrence Mitchell on the pre-fight pod. It was more for the odds and just the fact that Rojas is 18 years old. But
yeah, but I mean, I was looking at Terrence's record. I was like, oh, he's got a lot of finishes, and maybe this would be closer than I thought. But he just seemed like he got overwhelmed.
Yeah, he had nothing in there for him. I mean, he came out so wild and. You know, like, it's just crazy. Like, you see Rosas Jr. in his last fight, he got broken because the other guy like stayed tough and outlasted him, and you see him have cardio problems in that fight. And if you're Terrence Mitchell, you know, I'm thinking that you're gonna play a little bit more conservative and try to wear him down, get him into deep water. But Mitchell was like, nah, fuck it, we ball, and just started throwing huge punches at the beginning and ended up getting cracked with that counter left shot. Really beautiful knockdown from Rosas Jr. And he followed it up with the ground and pound like you'd imagine him to. It took like what, all of 1 minute to get that finish? Yeah,
54 seconds.
Yeah, so I mean, excuse me, huge victory for Rosas Jr. I think it's, you know, it's kind of like this could be really good for him, this could be really bad for him. He was supposed to win this fight, you know? He was a minus 750 favorite or whatever. And, you know, now coming off of that victory where he got done with his hands for the first time in his career, or the first time that I've seen at least, I'm a little bit worried that he might go down the path of, you know, one of these guys. Yeah, like, you know, I hope that he goes back to what, you know, got him to the dance in his next fight and uses that dominant wrestling game that he has and that, you know, chain wrestling and cardio game plan. If he does end up striking and he fights somebody the likes of, you know, that guy that took him out last time, or, you know, anybody that's like at bantamweight that has a, you know, a little bit of striking and durability, it's going to be a tough fight for him. And I mean, he's 18 years old still. Like, I want to see him get that slow path to the title shot, or, you know, just through the division. So I hope that they don't rush him. I hope that they keep giving him these jobbers like this and, you know, letting him rack up some victories and momentum. The guy is super charismatic. He loves to fill up the arena. He loves the, you know, the crowd and the pop from the crowd that he gets. So
he loves his mama.
He does love his mama. I mean, I'm sure his mom did a lot for him. You know, she probably signed all the waivers to get him into those fights when he was fucking 16 years old or whatever. So
like a responsible parent.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, that's what we do. But yeah, I'm excited to see where he goes from here. I hope they make it a slow burn to the top, because I really don't want to see another young buck get burnt out in the sport, you know?
Or face just competition because in this sport you can get hurt, especially as a young man. You know, you take a lot of damage to the brain against these killers.
Yeah,
that's the shit last.
Definitely. Speaking of young guys who looked more improved was Daniel Zellhuber and his fight with Christos Giagos.
Christos was gonna get it done.
He looked really good in that first round, man.
He looked really good for a minute. I was like,
that guy's good. I'm a fan.
Yeah, it was good. I thought that he was going to win. It looked like he was clearly coasting to a victory, and then, yeah, what happened?
Zellhuber just, you know, he came out in that second round with a vengeance. I think he dropped Giagos with like a crispy right hook, and then immediately jumped on the anaconda, and he sunk it in so deep, so quickly. It was like,
the sprawl and then the switch to it. It was slow.
It was very
beautiful. A couple times for me to see it completely.
Yeah, he wrapped that thing up quick. You can tell that he's done that in training a million times. You know, and I think this guy is definitely one to watch.
Honestly,
yeah, I mean, it's a good move. You know, Charles Oliveira is a huge fan of that choke from that position. You know, you see guys, Tony Ferguson, obviously. I mean, he gets the Darce on the other side, but still same route. Zellhuber, I think he's going to be a big problem in this division as he, you know, grows up in it, as he starts to, you know, fill out his frame. I think he's only like 24 years old, so he's got a lot of time left in this sport, and I think he's going to keep improving. He obviously already has the hands, and now showing off that submission game, he's going to be trouble, man. I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Giagos is no slouch, so that was a pretty solid victory there. I'm happy for the guy. My boy Fernando Padilla did not get it done. Won the first round.
I was a fan of that call. I liked Kyle. I thought Kyle Nelson won that. We were texting back and forth on that one. I thought he just put more pressure on him. Fernando just seemed like he was moving a lot.
He took it lightly, honestly. I think,
yeah, he looked like he wasn't really, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, that first round he came out really nice, and then second and third he kind of just let Kyle Nelson take the reins of the fight. And I don't know, maybe it's a motivation thing, maybe he was tired, maybe it was the crowd that like got him too excited and he got an adrenaline dump. But yeah, it just really seemed to turn it off after that first round. And Nelson, if you're gonna just let him punch you, he's gonna just punch you, you know what I mean? He's gonna move around, he's gonna kick, he's gonna punch. And you know, solid victory for Kyle Nelson there, and a plus 220 underdog if you guys cashed on it. But yeah, Lupita Godinez looked incredible again. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, man, it's like one fight she looks like a world beater, and the next fight she just, you know, looks completely deflated. But in this fight, she looked like a world beater for sure. She was putting it on Elise Reed, taking her down, beating her up, punching her in the face on the feet. Really just well-rounded performance. I'm surprised Elise Reed didn't get her arm broken off by that armbar attempt.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah,
that's when I start. I think that's when I had turned it on.
Oh, it was so bad, dude.
Well, no, I take that back. I watched the first fight with Josephine Nuxon and what's her name? Lucindio. But then I came back and I turned on that one. I was surprised that she didn't tap. And I'm surprised that she kept on holding. I don't think she thought she was going to win. She's just like, I'm going to hold on as long as I can.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. So good on her for being that tough. But Lupi looked good.
Yeah, no, Lupi looked like a beast, man. She was all over her. The wrestling is so dominant from her. They said on the broadcast, and I've heard them say before, that like her sisters are like Mexican national wrestling champions. So she's definitely grown up in that house wrestling since she was a young buck, and it shows. You know, she has a tremendous amount of experience on the ground, and she's a beast, dude. I'm excited to see where she goes from here. I don't know who's next for her. She has been kind of middling in this division, but you know, if she can, now she's on a 3-fight win streak, coming off of that big victory over Elise Reed. I'd like to see her fight up a little bit here. Roman Kopylov, holy shit, dude. Like, that guy is so awesome. I love his style. It's incredible. Over Josh Fremd, he got that knockout with the punch to the body. That punch was fucking beautiful, man. Like, I'm a sucker for a good body shot KO, you know? And it doesn't get much better than this one. He leaned completely out of his stance, hammered that left hook to the body, and you see Fremd just have that delayed reaction and curl up against the fence. It was a beautiful performance from Kopylov. Kopylov's style is very, very interesting. It's super fun to watch. He comes out and, you know, he's very reserved, but when he opens up, it's so explosive. You know, he was landing these beautiful switch kicks to the body all night. He was landing some nice straight rights. Just a really well-rounded game on the feet. You know, Fremd would go for a takedown, Kopylov would shuck it off and come right back to hitting him with those, you know, tight counters and just perfect technique, it seems like, you know. And I think this is the third or fourth time in the UFC that he's got a second round KO. So I think that might be my bet going forward when I see a Kopylov fight. If it's somebody that I think he's going to beat, he seems to kind of take his time in the fight and wait for his openings. He won't jump crazy. There was a moment in the first where he had him hurt and kind of just like took his foot off the gas pedal and picked his shots instead of going crazy for the finish. And I think that spells really well if Kopylov can work his way up to a title shot. That's the kind of, attributes in a fighter and a striker, especially, that you want to see, that they don't go that crazy for the finish and can, you know, leave some in the tank. So I'm really excited to see where Kopylov goes from here. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch right now. And I'm pumped on him. You know, I think he's going to be a good fighter for years to come. He's only 32 years old. He looks like he's like 19, but he's like 32. And I'm really excited for him. I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Couple other fights on this card. Tracy Cortez looked great against Jazzy Duvicus. She, just put that pressure on her and stayed on top of her the whole fight. Not in top position, but rather like, you know, on the feet. She was just a step ahead and, got that decision victory with no controversy. Jasmine coming off of that victory over Miranda Maverick. This is a huge victory for Tracy Cortez. So I'm happy to see her come into her own there. And then Josephine Knutson beat the shit out of Marnik, man.
Yeah, but she should have been a finisher, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, hold up. She definitely had a couple instances where she could have got the finish, but she just fucking beat the shit out of that woman. Like, I don't know. It was really tough. Like, she had her in like stacked guard for a while, just pounding on her. I feel like, you know, man is so tough.
I'll tell you that she took it.
Yeah.
She took that beating.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was hard. There was like a couple moments where she could have, you know, really turned it up and got the finish, but man was not going anywhere, and you know, the referee was not gonna jump in for an attritive damage. They're looking for like one big moment or like, you know, the fighter to not be defending themselves. And she was staying in there, you know.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's worse, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely.
Like, just to keep the like nuts, like just keep getting hit with like 30% shots. It's like, yeah, maybe one or two, but like if you're getting hit with like 20 of those, you know, it comes.
Oh, yeah, it sucks. It sucks, dude. I mean, ask anybody that's fought Nick Diaz or Sean Strickland, you know? It sucks getting hit with those shots over and over for five rounds, you know? But I'm really excited to see where she goes from here, because she seemed to have that well-rounded game plan, super dominant on top, and that's just not really something that you see in those divisions. So
I think she's got a ceiling, though.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, you know? I think that's her first fight in the UFC, right? I mean, if it's not her first fight, it's like her second. But yeah, she's coming off of a Muay Thai background. Like, you wouldn't have expected that with how dominant she looked on the ground. Yeah, that's her first fight in the UFC. So she's definitely got some room to grow here. We'll see what happens, you know. All right, but that's enough about that card. It was a really exciting card altogether. I'd like to see them do that UFC Noche every year. You know, I think that's a good move. I like the Mexican crowd. I love the Mexican fighters and how much heart they show there. The
fighting spirit and everything.
Yeah. I mean, maybe don't do it in Mexico City, because I don't know if you remember what happened the last time they went to Mexico City, but it was bad, dude. It was like a brawl. They were like throwing shit in the cage.
I thought this is called the Ultimate What Championships?
Yeah, no, of course. But like, you don't want people throwing garbage onto the fighters. Like, you know what I mean?
Speak for both of us here on the team.
But all right, let's get into this card next week, man. We've got some good shit coming up at the Apex. Unfortunately, this fight really deserves a crowd. But we got Rafael Fazia versus Mateusz Gamrot. Very exciting matchup. As striker versus grappler as you can get at this weight class, at this, you know, at this level of the sport. You got Rafael Fiziev coming off of a loss over Justin Gaethje, in which he looked really good, but Gaethje just came out really strong in that third round and got the victory there. And Mateusz Gamrot coming off of a victory over Jalen Turner, which I personally felt like he lost that fight. And the fight before that, he got smoked by Beneil Dariush. So both guys kind of looking for a little bit of redemption here. And with a victory against each other, you know, whoever gets the victory here is definitely at least, you know, maybe one fight away from the title shot. So there's huge title implications on this card, and a very exciting matchup to boot. I'm been going back and forth on this. Fiziev has obviously the striking advantage. He's super fast on the feet, super powerful, very he has a wealth of attacks he can use on the feet. He loves his switch kick to the body. He loves his overhand right. His jab is money. His leg kicks are money. He has good knees. He times his knees very well. Dude just has a wealth of striking, a huge striking arsenal that he can pull out for this fight. Mateusz Gamrot on the other side, very similar to Merab Dvalishvili in the sense that, you know, he might not be the hardest hitter. He might not have the best technique. He gets hit a lot, but he's going to be there the whole fight. He's not going anywhere. He has great wrestling. He has great pace. He has great cardio. And if you don't take that guy out of there, he's going to wear you down and, you know, grind your face into the mat. And, you know,
it's a 5-round fight.
It's a 5-round fight and it's a small cage. So I think that plays a little bit into the grappling. I think Gamrot has some of, like, you know, if this was a 3-round fight at a T-Mobile arena or, you know, the Madison Square Garden or one of these big arenas, I'm taking Fiziev all day. I think he's going to win the first two rounds. I think he's definitely going to win the first round. I could see him knocking him down, you know, knocking down Gamrot. Gamrot's been knocked down in like every fight that I've seen. And, you know, I see Fiziev coming out to a very strong start, not being able to put away Gamrot, and Gamrot just wearing him down third, fourth, fifth round. By the fifth round, you're going to see a very, very tired Rafael Fiziev. If it gets there, he's going to look exhausted in that round. You know, he's been exhausted.
You think Gamrot can get him out of there?
Gamrot's not really a finisher. I don't really see him getting the finish in this fight. Fiziev is tough as nails. I know you look at his record, he has 12 victories by finish and 10 by decision. But if you look at his record in the UFC, it's very rare that he does get finishes, especially when he fights this higher level of competition. So,
well, from it sounds like you're saying that Gamrot's got to win 3, 4, 5 definitively.
I think he will. I think the longer the fight goes, it really plays into Gamrot's favor. And, you know, Fiziev does have good takedown defense. He gets back to his feet really quickly. But that doesn't really matter when you're exhausted, you know. If you're very tired and the guy just keeps shooting takedowns on you, he could just hold him against the fence. He could just hold him against the fence until Fiziev slips up and take him down and just wear him down from the top position. I really think this fight's going to look a lot like Merab versus Petr Yan.
You did say that Gamrot gets hit though.
He gets hit a lot.
If he takes too much damage in that first and second, that can significantly impair your takedown ability.
But that's the thing though. The guy doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's just gonna keep moving forward. Like, the guy's like a Energizer Bunny, you know? Very similar to Merab Dvalishvili in that sense. I think Merab has a little bit better of a striking threat. He can throw some big punches on the feet, but Gamrot has that same like will to win and just crazy cardio that he weaponizes his pace, you know. And against somebody like Fiziev, who I've seen get tired in every third round that he's ever been in, every third round he gets exhausted. The only exception is in the Rafael Dos Anjos fight, where he got the victory in the fifth round. He had a second wind in that fight, but Dos Anjos is not putting on that big of a pace and pressure performance and at 38 or however old he was when he fought Fiziev versus Gamrot, who's, you know, in his prime, gonna be in your face the whole fight. I do expect, I'm not saying this is going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to look like Merab versus Jan in that sense, but I do think that, I think Fiziev is going to have some early success. I'm going to bet on him to get a knockdown. And then I think it's just going to be Gamrot taking him down over and over and over. It's not going to be pretty. He's not going to have big moments. He's not going to, you know, look like he's going to finish the fight at any moment. But at the end of the fight, you're going to be like, oh, wow, like he had 15 minutes of control time. Holy shit. Like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? And I think it's just going to be a wear down for Fiziev. By the end of the fight, he's going to be exhausted. I think he has to finish him. I think Fiziev has to get the finish in this fight. If he wants the victory, he's going to have to take him out of there in the first or second round. And I'm not saying that he can't, but it's been a long time since Gamrot's been finished. Let me look at his record. Yeah, he's never been finished.
If you think that he's going to win the first and second, all he has to do is win one round out of the last three.
That's true.
You know, so for someone that gets hit a lot, you know, if you got a third or fourth where Gamrot's having a little bit of trouble getting that, securing that takedown, and maybe he's able to get it in the third, fourth minute somewhere, and Fiziev have gotten a couple clean shots at him.
Yeah.
You know, that can sway the judges into a split decision.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not going to be an easy fight, for sure. But I just feel like five rounds, small cage, I think there's factors that just play into Gamrot's game plan. And I feel like at underdog odds, I'm going to go with Gamrot here, you know?
Yeah. By the way, I 100% agree with you. I think that's exactly how it's going to play out. I'm looking forward to seeing Gamrot really push his pace. You know, I love seeing guys that, like you said, weaponize their pace. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the type of wrestler I was, so I love seeing people really employ that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be an interesting fight for sure. But you know, we hear at the TKO love the striker versus grappler matchup.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're classics, you know. And you know, like, you know, it's not to say that Fiziev can't get the finish. He's finished a lot of guys. Most of his victories are by finish. But it's just that, like, Gamrot is so hard to put away, and Fiziev doesn't tend to play with his food, so to speak, but he's not like a first round, you know, take you out of there. And even if he was, Gamrot is, again, he's never been finished. He stays in your face the whole time. It would take a huge shot from Fiziev.
See, but when you say that, man, when you say, like, never been finished, it's been 22-2. That's a lot of fights.
Yeah.
22-2 in one no contest. That's a lot of fights.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fights. So when people, the same thing with Holloway. It's like, the more I hear it, the more I'm like, well, it seems like it's about time.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen, dude, you know? I mean, dude's only 32, though. It's not like he's old and withered, you know? But, like, that third round against Jalen Turner, he got dropped in that fight. He got dropped in the Saryukin fight. He got dropped in the Dariush fight. And it doesn't stop him, you know? The guy doesn't, not for a second does he believe that he's going to lose the fight, you know? He's just going to keep going.
Yeah, but you got to consider, though, like, if you get dropped and then they're able to follow up real quickly, I mean, if you have the wrong referee,
yeah,
that's an early stop.
That's
early
a good stoppage. Point. Yeah, it really does come down to the ref. And, you know,
you put yourself in that he puts himself in that situation by, you know, being so cavalier and getting dropped. You know, that's even if it doesn't, you know, get him out of there, get him the early stoppage finish against him. Mm-hmm. They can still lose him around.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, you're right. You know, if Fiziev does win the first and second and then drops him in the third or fourth, and, you know, even if he does get wrestled for the rest of the round, he could still win the fight on that decision, you know? Yeah, but that being said,
I got Gamrot. I'm going to go money line with it. I don't know if I'm going to put anything on a decision or a finish. I would imagine it goes to a decision.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely putting mine on Gamrot.
Yeah, I just, I watched that Saryukin fight. If you guys haven't seen Gamrot versus Saryukin, it's one of the best fights I've ever seen. It's so technical. It's so back and forth. The fight is incredible. And, you know, honestly, I felt like Saryukin won that fight. He won the first and second round. And then fourth round, he drops Gamrot with a spinning back fist. And the rest of the round, Gamrot is just wrestling him. And, you know, your traditional MMA judging with these new rules tells you that a knockdown wins a round, you know. But the judges love Gamrot. I don't know what it is. I thought he lost that fight. I thought he lost the fight with Jalen Turner. But they just love to see a guy stay on top and beat people up. I think it's the Khabib effect, you know. Khabib would get 10-8 rounds on, rounds that he did a lot of damage. He did a lot of top control, but it wasn't like he ever looked like he was going to finish the fight. It was just dominance for the whole fight. And I think that kind of wore down on the judges a little bit. I don't know. This is like my conspiracy theory, you know? Ever since these guys came in the UFC, it seems like the wrestling has a little bit more of an impact on the judges' scorecard. And I just think that's how it's going to go, man. I think Gamrot's going to have a lot of top control. I think he's going to be able to take Fiziev down over and over and over in those third, fourth, fifth rounds. And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this fight goes to a draw. I think if Fiziev can drop him in the first round, have a dominant first round, and then, you know, win the second round, and Gamrot just, you know, wrestles him third, fourth, and fifth, we could be looking at another draw, two main event draws in a row. It could happen. You know, it's not impossible.
I will fucking write. I'll tell you this right now. If I watch, at least it's an early card, but if I watch another five rounds to find out it comes to a draw, I'm switching to fucking soccer.
Oh, what time does this card start? You said it's an early one?
It says 6 p.m. is the main card starts.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
So early-ish. All
right. Okay, that's not too bad, though. All right, but yeah, that's enough about this fight. I'm going to go with Gamrot. I think he gets it done. I have a bet on him by money line as well, but I do think he's probably just going to win a decision. That being said, let's go down the card because there's a lot of really good fights on this card, man. This is a good one. We got Bryce Mitchell versus Dan Ige in the co-main event. Bryce Mitchell, again, this is kind of like a striker versus grappler matchup. I mean, Ige is pretty well-rounded, but Mitchell definitely, you know, is another guy that weaponizes his pace, uses that grappling, has a lot of submission attempts and a lot of a deep submission arsenal on the ground. I'm really excited for this matchup. It seems like Ige doesn't lose to anybody unless they're, you know, top five guys. So he's a very solid gatekeeper, so to speak, in this division. You know, you look at his record, the guys that he's beat Nate Landwehr, Damon Jackson, Gavin Tucker, Barboza, Bektik, Danny Henry, a lot of guys in this division. The guys that he loses to, Calvin Kattar, Korean Zombie, Josh Emmett, Movsar Evloev, these are some huge names in the division, top five fighters for sure. So if you can get past Dan Ige, it spells a lot of good things for your future in the featherweight division. I don't know if Mitchell's going to get it done, man. I don't know. They have him at a minus 200. I kind of like Ige at underdog odds. Ige is hard to take down. He has a lot of power in his fists, and he's impossible to get knocked out. So, I mean, it's just, it really comes down to who's going to win more minutes of the fight. Mitchell can definitely get it done with chain wrestling and, you know, just pace and pressure. But I like Ige underdog odds, man. I don't know. I think he can get it done. I think he can land some big punches on the feet. I think he can stay in Mitchell's face for the whole time and really make him, you know, think about what he's coming at him with. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. I think this is a really interesting matchup, though. Who you got in this one?
Well, see, I actually agree with you on Ige, too, because Bryce has been kind of wishy-washy on whether he wants to even be in the sport anymore. He was pondering retirement. Seems pretty frustrated. So that's not a great attitude to go into against someone that is, you know, is as well-rounded as Ige.
Yeah.
So I don't like, anytime I see somebody with that attitude, that's why I don't really bet on Dustin anymore, because he's constantly like 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm going to have to go with Ige. I think it's just the safest bet. Because he seems to have the mental edge, mm-hmm. in my mind. You know, he could come out there and prove us wrong. But I feel like Bryce Mitchell might just be one of those journeymen that's like half in, maybe come in, make some money when he can, and then pop out. So I'll be interested to see how he responds to this in this co-main event and see if he's serious about this and he's going to make a run in the 145 division, or if he's just going to be that kind of cool kid with camo shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, he came off that first loss in his career against Ilya Topuria, who was like a nightmare matchup for him. And immediately was like, yeah, I might not do this anymore. Like, I mean, that's what Topuria does to these guys, though. You know, he makes them question whether they want to be in the sport anymore.
Question their life decision.
Yeah, facts. And honestly, dude, I kind of really like him in the title fight against Volkanovski. But we'll talk about that when it happens. But yeah, man, I don't know. I think you're right. I think it does come down to the mental edge for Ige. Ige is tough as nails. He's not going anywhere. You know, there's no question in his mind whether or not he wants to fight or not. Bryce Mitchell might be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Stylistically, I think it's a very interesting matchup. Ige is hard to take down. Mitchell, that's his whole game. If it stays on the feet, I do see Ige landing a lot of good jabs, landing a lot of good leg kicks, and, you know, just kind of wearing down Bryce Mitchell. I do see this fight going the distance. Both guys are very hard to put away. I'm excited for this fight, man. I'm gonna go with Ige at underdog odds, but I, you know, it's not to say that I'm not counting Bryce Mitchell out of there, because he is a scrappy motherfucker. But I just think it's a tough matchup stylistically, and with the price that they're giving me, Ige, I gotta take it, you know. A couple other fights on this card. We got a rematch at women's strawweight, Marina Rodriguez versus Michelle Waterson Gomez. These women fought a few years ago, before both of them had a chance at any gold, in 2021. It was a 5-round fight. A lot of people forget about this fight. It was a 5-round fight at the Apex, you know how they do, and it was actually at flyweight. So now they're fighting back at strawweight, where, you know, I think is a more natural weight class for both women. And in that fight, Rodriguez had the striking advantage. Waterson had the grappling advantage. It was a very competitive matchup. I do think that Rodriguez, I think she's just, you know, a step ahead when it comes to the feet. She hits really hard, and she has a great, you know, volume pressure style. Gomez was able to get, I think it was the third and the fourth round in their first fight, off of, you know, grappling positions. Rodriguez just seems so lost on the ground when she gets taken down. Both of these women are on the wrong side of 40, so I don't think either of them are really going to be making a run towards the title anymore. But I don't know who to pick, honestly. I don't know what the odds are either. I'm sure they have Rodriguez as a favorite, because Waterson's been pretty, you know, inconsistent these last few years. But I think that if she just, you know, comes out, shoots takedowns, gets on top, I think it's going to be a long night for Marina Rodriguez. That being said, I don't know if she has that game plan in her back pocket anymore. She's, like I said, she's on the wrong end of 40, and you know, just seems to have lost a step these last few fights. Rodriguez, on the other end, you know, lost to Verna Jandiroba. I saw that fight live. There was just a lot of wrestling from Verna. It was a very close fight, though. She lost to Amanda Lemos in what I thought was a very early stoppage. So it's not like she's been putting in career horrible performances. You know what I mean? She's still right there in every fight. I don't know. I'm probably going to go with Rodriguez in this fight. Over 3 rounds, I think it's an easier fight for her. I think she can get the first and second round. Maybe she'll lose the third on takedowns, but I think she gets it done.
Yeah, I agree. I want to go with Michelle Waterson Gomez, the Karate Hottie, just because you know, I grew up watching that.
Yeah,
but I'll say this: I am surprised that she has kept relevant as long as she has. You don't see that too much. You see a lot of people that kind of were a little bit better in an undeveloped women's division, such as like a Ronda Rousey, then everybody caught up, and then you still see Michelle Waterson Gomez, you know, out there banging. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah.
But I do think Rodriguez is going to get it done. I think you're right. I think she's just a step ahead. I think Michelle Waterson Gomez is probably pretty close to winding it down. These both women are probably pretty close to winding it down, but it'll be a nice, I didn't know that they fought again. I completely forgot about that as well. So it'd be a cool to see them revisit this.
Yeah.
But if I have to bet, I'm going to go with Rodriguez.
Yeah. I think it's a safe bet. I mean, I just feel like she has a little bit more gas in the tank at this stage of her career. And you know, both fighters are kind of like each other's foils, you know. Rodriguez has the striking, she has the length. Waterson on the other side has the grappling and the submission game. So, I mean, it's a very interesting matchup. The first fight was pretty competitive and a fun watch. So I like that they did the rematch. I think it makes sense with both of them coming off the losses that they've had. I'm going to go with Rodriguez as well. Another fight on here that's very exciting on this main card is Brian Battle versus AJ Fletcher. Brian Battle won the Ultimate Fighter a couple years ago. Excuse me. Very well-rounded game. Super long and lean for the division. Doesn't hit super hard, but is coming off of that 15-second knockout over Gabe Green, where Gabe Green just fucking marched forward into his punches. It was ridiculous. I think a lot of people underestimate Brian Battle. I think they look at him, they look at his build, they look at his physique, and they think, oh, this guy's weak, I can break him. But that's really not the case. The guy is tough as nails. He stays in there the whole time. He's got a well-rounded game plan, cool kicks, nice punches on the back foot like we saw in that last matchup. And on top of that, you know, he got to this dance with his wrestling and his ground game. So the guy's very well-rounded, very long and lean for the division, like I've said like 4 times already. But I really like his style. And out of all the Ultimate Fighter winners the last few years, I really feel like Brian Battle is the one who has the highest potential. And in this fight, he takes on AJ Fletcher. AJ Fletcher is a very strong, physically imposing welterweight. The dude hits hard as fuck. Definitely tends to fade as the fight goes on, which I think will play into Brian Battle's favor immensely. But he kind of he falls into that Jack Della Maddalena territory for me, where he'll pressure guys against the fence and unload these huge punches, and most people can't take them. You know, I don't see that being a problem for Brian Battle. I think Brian Battle's very elusive on the feet. He has good footwork. I see him dancing around, staying on the outside, and wearing down AJ Fletcher to a late finish or decision victory. I like Brian Battle in this fight for sure. He's a favorite, so it's not, you know, crazy taboo that I'm saying this, but I do think he gets it done. Couple other fights on this card. Ricardo Ramos versus Charles Jourdain. This is my pick for fight of the night. If the main event does end up being the fight of the night, this fight is very exciting. Both guys love to bang it out on the feet, on the ground. Both of them have, you know, a solid ground game, but their striking is really very exciting to watch. Ramos loves throwing spinning attacks. I think he has like 3 spinning elbow knockouts, which is like some insane stat, you know. Charles Jourdain on the other side, very much a pressure style of kickboxer, likes to stay in people's faces. If they shoot takedowns on him, he has a long night. If they don't, he's probably going to beat up most guys in this division on the feet. You know, he turned Shane Burgos into a wrestler in a fight that I thought he won, but they gave it to Burgos. He fought Nathaniel Wood and got wrestled. He beat Lando Venata. He beat Andre Yule. He beat the shit out of Cron Gracie. I saw that fight live. It was a beatdown. He's taking on Ricardo Ramos here, who, like I said, is a flashier striker. Let me just confirm how many spinning back elbows he has. He has 2 spinning back elbow knockouts in the UFC. I think that's a record. And he falls in love with that strike for sure. But yeah, I'm really excited for this matchup. I think I am going to go with Jourdain. He seems to be a little bit more durable in there, and just has a little bit more of a high fight IQ. So I like Jourdain in the fight, but I really think this is going to be a very exciting matchup. Couple other fights I wanted to touch on. They got Tim Means versus Andre Fialho on the prelims.
The Dirty Bird's back.
Yeah, he's back, baby. And he's taking on Andre Fialho, who is coming off of, what, 3 knockout losses? Let me double check that. 1, 2. Yep, 3 knockout losses. He got knocked out by Jake Matthews, Muslim Salikov, Joaquin Buckley, all in the space of a year. And now he's coming off of 4 months rest time, and he's taking on Tim Means. Tim Means also obviously is on the latter end of his career, hasn't been stellar in the octagon lately, coming off of 3 losses as well. To better names, though, I feel, and Alex Morono, Max Griffin, and Kevin Holland. A lot of people thought he won that Max Griffin fight. It was very close. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we saw him jab the shit out of Mike Perry. I think Tim Means is a tough fighter. I think he's definitely lost a step. He's, you know, like, what, 40 years old now? Yeah, 39. Fialho as well has been
39.
Yeah, Fialho also has had a long career. He fought in Bellator, he fought in the UFC, fought in a few different promotions, and now it seems like all of his damage is starting to catch up to him. The guy comes out of the Killcliff MMA Henry Hooft gym down there in Florida, with the likes of Vicente Luque, Michael Johnson, these kind of guys that tend to take a lot more punishment than they need to. Fialho had that iron chin for a long part of his career, but now it definitely seems like that chin's been cracked, coming off of 3 knockout losses. I don't know, man. It really comes down to who you think is more shop-worn at this point. You know, Means obviously had a longer career in the UFC. He also has the more well-rounded game plan. He can submit people. He has a better jab. He's a little bit longer on the feet, I think, or maybe they're around the same size, but he just has a leaner build. I don't really know who to pick, honestly.
Give me 2 Means, 10 Means, man. That's who I want.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he wins.
I'll see it. KO, second round.
It could happen. I mean, it's...
You're going to see Andre Fialho walk right into it.
It's very possible. It's been a while since Means got a KO, but, you know, if anybody could get a knockout, or if anybody can get knocked out, it's Andre Fialho lately, so... Yeah, I mean, I like Means in the fight, and he's a big underdog, so I'm going to take Means. I know I'm picking a lot of the underdogs on this card, but I don't know. I'm feeling it, you know? I'm feeling the vibes. Going down the card, there's a fight that I'm definitely not going to take the underdog in, and that's Jacob Malkoon versus Cody Brundage. Cody Brundage coming in on short notice. I do not believe in Cody Brundage. I'm sorry. We've talked about him before on the podcast.
What an asshole.
Yeah, he's coming off of three losses, and that fight against Cedric Dumas, he could have won that fight.
He could have won a couple of them.
Yeah,
like what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, dude, like, kept going for guillotines.
He does a guillotine right off, like does a double leg, and then gives up position for a guillotine. I might fucking throw my remote.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Jacob Malkoon has a great wrestling style. He has a good cardio, good wrestling style, and solid punches on the feet. We've seen him get hurt in some fights before, but honestly, dude is fucking tough as nails, and, you know, I thought he won that Brendan Allen fight that they gave to Brendan Allen, but, you know, he definitely got knocked out by Phil Hawes. There was no controversy there. Malkoon definitely seems to be coming into his own lately. That Australian wrestling background, he trains with Robert Whittaker and them down there in Australia, and I just think it's his fight to lose against Cody Brundage. I could see him getting a finish in this fight. I think he could take him down, beat him up, and get him out of there. I don't know if he has any finishes on his record. Yeah, he has two knockouts in his first couple fights. No finishes in the UFC. This might be his first time. This might be the one that he gets the finish.
At worst, Cody Brundage is going to give him the win. So
yeah. I mean, they have Malkoon at a minus 450. Oh,
what if he actually hits a guillotine the time he finishes, though?
I don't see it happening, man. Malkoon is pretty fucking...
We're betting together that this will be the time.
Yeah. We'll see. But I just think Malkoon's a little too smart on the... You know, just in the cage in general. Fight IQ wise, I'm taking Malkoon 10 times out of 10 over Cody Brundage. Like, he fights so smart in there. He doesn't take risks when he doesn't have to. He'll, you know, switch up the striking to the grappling very beautifully. And Cody Brundage on the other side, the antithesis, you know, the guy, if he was fucking going for takedowns and grabbing guillotines on Rodolfo Vieira, bro. Like, I know you're a good wrestler, dog, but you're not going to take a guillotine on a fucking jiu-jitsu world champion like Rodolfo Vieira. It was really stupid game plan there. And I just don't really trust him, man. So I'm going with Malkoon in the fight, uncontroversially. I think he gets the finish, though. Then one more fight to talk about here. They got Muhammad Usman versus Jake Collier. Usman, obviously, Kamaru's brother, big heavyweight, very athletic, has a pretty solid jab. Kind of a boring style. He's fighting Jake Collier, who used to be a middleweight, believe it or not. It's fucking insane. Like, you can see a picture of him from middleweight to heavyweight, and it's like he ate himself. I mean, honestly, I really like his style at heavyweight. He's got a lot of volume, a lot of pressure. He does tend to get taken down from time to time. He does tend to get outworked by a slicker fighter. Muhammad Usman is not a slicker fighter, though. I do see Usman having some advantage on the wrestling just with his size and power. But and he seems to have good fight IQ as well. But Collier can definitely take a couple rounds off him with that cardio kickboxing style where he just stays in your face and throws 80 punches in a round, you know. You don't see that at heavyweight a lot. So I'm excited for this matchup. I do think Usman's going to get it done with the wrestling, but I think Collier is a live dog for sure. And then they got Hannah Goldie fighting against Mizuki Inoue. Inoue had a pretty stellar career in kickboxing and shooto boxing, and now she's coming into the UFC. I think she's had two fights in the UFC she fought Wu Yanan, the worst fighter I've ever seen in the UFC, and Amanda Lemos, one of the better fighters I've seen. And Amanda Lemos was not able to finish her, and she's finished a lot of people, so I think that says something. That being said, Mizuki is a solid fighter, and I'm going to bet against Hannah Goldie every opportunity that I get. I don't know what the odds are, but I think it's safe to hammer Mizuki in this fight. I think, you know, Hannah Goldie has been in the UFC for a lot longer than she needs to be. Has she even had a victory? Like, yeah, she beat Emily. Wow, she beat Emily Whitmire, dude. That sucks. That's got to sting for Emily.
You gotta have some jobbers to build up these people, man.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Goldie is definitely that, you know. So I'm going to go with Mizuki in this fight. I don't know how she gets it done, but I think she gets it done regardless. But yeah, that was a long episode, man. Let's break down this this betting slip real quick. So all who right. you got?
I'll go and take mine. I got Gamrot, Aggie. I got Rodriguez, and then I got the Dirty Bird, Tim Means getting it done. And I'm probably going to do the same thing as you in full fade Cody Brundage and go with Jacob Malcoon.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll put the finish on it, but I definitely do not have faith in Cody Brundage.
Yeah, I agree. I like that pick. I'm going to go Gamrot money line. I might do a little same game parlay on DraftKings that Fazeev gets a knockdown and Gamrot wins the decision. I like that. Then I'm going to go with Ige at underdog odds. I'm going to stay away from the Rodriguez fight. I'm going to go with Battle. I'm going to go Jourdain. And I'm going to put a little parlay of Malcoon and Mizuki just because I don't believe in the people that they're fighting. I'll put those together. And yeah, we'll see what happens, man. I'm really excited for this fight card. There's a lot of really good fights on this card. Early start, like you said, Jordan. So, you know, you can get this card out of the way and then go have dinner with your family. It's going to be a good time, man. I'm excited. We should probably start breaking this thing down. We're running up close to an hour now. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. It's been a pleasure. Last week didn't go so hot. You know, we had Holland. We had the main event ended in a draw, so neither of us got that. But
you know what, though? It was a good time.
It was a good time. I had a lot of fun. And I think this weekend's going to be even better, honestly. This weekend looks amazing. So I'm excited to see how it happens. I'm excited to see how it breaks down. Thank you so much for listening, y'all. I appreciate you. And yeah, hopefully next week we can get y'all back in the winning column. Take it easy, y'all.